We can't hide from the fact that we love our Bear football, can we, Matt?
I think we do love it, and that's why we're doing this middle winter episode when there's no football even in near sight.
It's like we're stir crazy right now. We got cabin fever for Bear football. We're on the precipice of, I guess, unveiling our highlight film that we put together for the 2014 season. And so you got this idea, just kind of threw it out. Like, why not? We've got the equipment. We've got the drive. Let's do it. Here on Talking Bear Football on WestBranchFootball.com, powered by Matt Chenander.
Thank you.
Yes. Let's give him that press because that's the last one. After this, it's a joint effort from here on out. I'm Jason Miller. He's Matt Chenander. He's over there. I'm over here. And this is fun. It's trying to get back into the swing of things. It's been a few months, obviously, since the season ended, Matt.
This is February 7th.
February the 7th.
And we're talking football.
So it's been pretty much, what, you got 3 months pretty much to the day, almost.
Yeah, that's true.
Since the Bears played their last game, ending 2014 on a sour note, 35-20, I believe, was the final score. It was 35-18, 19. See, that's how bad I think it's 18 because we didn't score any extra points.
34-18?
35.
35-18?
35. We lost. We got second place in that one. Ended a great season. 10-1 district champs. We've already chronicled that in episode 13B. This is episode...
No.
Or 14.
It was just 13.
Just 13. This is episode 14.
We had 12A and 12B.
Yeah. We'll just lap this on to the 2014 season as episode 14. Obviously, we want to talk a little bit about the highlight film that is going to be played tomorrow night.
Sunday.
At the high school auditorium, beginning promptly at 6 p.m. Don't be late. You don't want to miss it. This is amazing. Obviously, you could watch it later. But watching it the first time in the auditorium, on the big screen.
With the team
and the speakers in there. It's just a different kind of experience than watching it at home on your couch, you know, with a bottle of water and a granola bar. You can watch it in there at the high school, and it's just a neat thing. Everybody's going to come together. I imagine, Matt, we'll probably have 75, 80 people there is my estimate for tomorrow night.
Yeah.
I know the auditorium only holds about 40. Actually, I think it holds about 350, but let's not worry about that.
Are you bringing a red carpet?
I am. Going to have a red carpet. Gonna wear tuxedos. You know, if you're gonna bring a guest, make sure you keep it clean. I think we're gonna have Stephen Grace on hand if he gets back from Hawkeye Wrestling in time to do our red carpet interviews for us.
Live on ET,
and on WestBranchFootball.com. So a few things. Here's a small potpourri basket as we got here this midwinter. You'd think it would just not be anything to talk about. There have been some really neat things happened since the end of the season. Starting with, obviously, we got some individual thing we can talk about. Let's talk about Bear football players who were named to any of the All-State football teams, Matt. There were 6 of them. Off the top of your head, see if you can name them without looking at your laptop. You're pulling it up.
All right.
Without looking, can you name all 6? I've got the numbers here, so if you can't see the numbers.
I can't see them, but yeah. I think I can do this.
Yes.
We've got Jacob Giese.
Luke Lenock.
And those two were first teamers.
Those guys were
first teamers. Those were the two first teamers.
Yes.
Second teamers included Drew Finnegan.
Yes.
Matt McElrath. I don't know on there.
Lucas Lamont was the third teamer.
Oh, Lucas Lamont, yeah.
And Big John was also in there.
Yes, that's right.
2 All-State football teams. So 6 West Branch Bears were recognized for their individual talents as part of the team success. So congratulations to those guys. The Cedar Rapids Gazette came out with an all-area football team. And how many West Branch Bears do you think were on that team?
6.
0.
Really?
West Branch had the second leading rusher in the area.
Wait, did you say the Gazette?
The Cedar Rapids Gazette.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Yeah. They did not have...
That makes sense.
We got Jacob Giese, who's on every first team, all-state team. Luke Lenock was on every first team, all-state team, but he couldn't make it on their all-area team. And I was told, what was told me was, It was just a really deep class this year in the Cedar Rapids area. I agree with that. I know Ryan Parmalee from Maquoketa Valley was on their first team running backs. But if you go by guys on the whole eastern half of Iowa, Luke Lenach was the second leading rusher in the entire eastern side of Iowa this year. But that's not good enough to be on an all-area team. But, you know, we won't focus on that. I know they were recognized by the Iowa City Press Citizen. We want to thank Ryan Merck and Matt did a lot of wonderful things for a lot of schools, including West Branch this last season.
Yeah, I think he's kind of like a West Branch Bear fan now.
I think so. He came to our media day back in August that we talked about on episode number one. And he came to many games, sent reporters when he personally wasn't there. He came to a few practices to do some features on some players, offensive line feature, before the Dyke New Hartford game. I know Matt linked that to westbranchfootball.com. But they did a lot of great things, and I know Coach Peterson praised them, you know, and certainly gave them credit for that. But, you know, thanks, Ryan, and, you know, Cully Klein, and Susan Harmon actually did come for a game for the Gazette one night. So they were there for that. We want to thank all the reporters that show up. Radio guys, Brent Balbinot and Gary Fickle took care of us a couple nights for the gym, K Gym. They've got like three stations. They got North, South, and the other one.
The North Gym, the South Gym.
And the AM station.
I don't know.
But thanks, guys, for coming over.
Of course.
And most importantly, as far as vocal, of course, Matt's about ready to say, I cut him off, he was going to thank Stephen Grace, Mike Quinlan, Jerry Flagel was a part of it, Teddy Tuttle was a part of it, Matt Chenander was a part of it. Who else?
Jody Kruger. Well, you and I did the inaugural.
We did the inaugural. And we made it easy for the rest of the games to take it to the next level.
Yes.
We didn't set the standard very high, but we had to set it. It had to start somewhere, and it began with us. And it started, Matt, as you can give us the numbers a little bit on this. We were battling through a lot of different things throughout the season. By the end of the year, we sort of had this thing dialed down. But give us some technical stuff.
Well, one of the cool statistics was that the first game at Lisbon, I think we had maybe 40, 50 listeners.
Total. Yeah.
Throughout the night. And, albeit that we had some technical issues. But by the Dyke New Hartford game, there ended up being over 650 listeners. So
how many of those were what you would call a unique listener, meaning?
There were 350 unique.
Unique listeners, folks, mean that's 350 different
IP addresses
that logged in. Or basically like 350 different cars logged into a radio station. It's the same thing. But you think about that. 600, I'm guessing a few of those are probably from the Dyke New Hartford School District because they didn't make the trip down.
Yep.
But still.
But I know that K-Gym was having some technical issues that night as well, so we could have gotten some traffic.
Might have got some traffic off of them, and I don't want to thank them for having technical issues. But, again, we thank them for being at our games. But 600, let's do the math on that. 600 listeners. There are 2,000 people in West Branch. Quick math, Matt.
That's over 25%.
That's 30% of basically the 30% of the population of West Branch was listening to the game on one night. And it wasn't even a state championship game. Think if West Branch would make a state championship game, how many people, if they weren't at the game.
Okay, but B,
they would,
if we had the permission to do it.
Oh, we would. Hoover radio station.
Oh, yeah.
You're on the clock, because if we make a state championship game, we're going to plug right into 590 AM. We'll get your permission at least before we do it, before we try to bank your
I don't know station. If the SEC would like, FCC would like that.
Yeah, you know, and we love those folks at the FCC. We don't, they're allowing us to put this out there. Actually, they have no power. We never ask for permission. We don't need to, because it's a podcast, for goodness sake. And it's the Talking Bear Football podcast.
We could even curse.
No, we couldn't.
We're not going to, though.
No, man, why would you even bring that up?
I don't know.
You just got called into the principal's office on that, boss. So we got a few of those All-State players we've talked about, some of the media stuff. We'll get back to the highlight film again at the end and dive into that a little bit more, because you and I Obviously, you probably know more about that right now than anybody, since nobody else has seen it pretty much but you and I and Butch and Jenny Peterson.
Frenchie's seen it.
Frenchie! Hey, buddy!
And Mike Jenkins from the Weather Channel.
Oh, yeah, man. Weather Channel guy. We got to talk about
those
guys.
Well, and one of my co-workers, too.
Yeah.
That doesn't count.
Cheapers. Here I thought I had it dialed in, and Matt, nope. Handed it out to Joe Nichols out there in Bartonville, Illinois, was listening. And I saw him at a Hardee's, and I didn't think he'd tell anybody. I was kidding. But Mike Jenkins, man, he and his guy that was with him, I think his name was John. I don't remember his last name. I know he might be out on the World Series of Poker sometime here soon, because he's a heck of a card player. But Mike at the Weather Channel was awesome, Matt, throughout this whole process. Very good with communication with me, as far as we worked it out to set it up to help him out when they came here back in, that would have been October 10th, I think it was, when it first originally airs.
Well, when it aired, they were here right before the North Cedar game.
Yeah. So,
which was the end of September, middle September.
They were wonderful. They showed up here. We've talked about this on one of our previous podcasts, but they showed up on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, filmed some, did a lot of town shots. And Thursday they came back. They had that drone camera thing that is just amazing. All the kids hear that, the fan going, what's that? What's that? And then it starts going up in the air, and then they don't pay attention anymore. But some of the camera shots, some of the video, shots that we got from that, they gave us pretty much carte blanche of all the stuff they had.
Yeah, they gave us pretty much everything. Most of it they mailed to the door on a hard drive, and then some of the other stuff they just uploaded online later that I could download. But yeah, great. I mean, it was great to be able to get some footage from them, and we used a little bit in the highlight film. And I think it'll just be good for, you know, archival purposes as well. You know,
we gave them, they were Slobber Knocker of the Week award winners that week. They were honorary slobber knockers because they really, let's be honest, they knocked it out of the park with that footage and some of the stuff that Matt was able to pull in off of that hard drive that we put into the highlight film is obviously stuff no one would have, we would never had if they weren't here with that drone. But we've priced some of those out. So if anybody out there is interested in help us out in getting a drone for West Branch football next year, I don't know how legal that is through the state regulations, but you know what? Until you get to the playoffs, I bet we're okay.
If you do it on private property.
And I don't know
that. And you stay under a certain level.
My guess.
You do not need any FFA is that or
a public school. They don't own the air. They may own the ground. They don't own the air above. That's private property. Nobody owns the air unless you're Ocean's 13 in Shanghai. The one guy owned the air, but not in West Branch. He doesn't own it, so we could put it right up there. But Matt, a few things have happened in the last few weeks for some gentlemen in our program, and obviously these are individuals that have had these things happen for them. Some wonderful things, but what it shows is the strength of the program, the strength of the coaching, the strength of Phil Johnson in the weight room, because each one of these kids. Thank Phil Johnson and his staff that help him out there. But first of all, let's talk about Matt McElrath. I know you put together a film for him. He was thinking about playing some college football, but recently an award was bestowed upon him.
Yeah, he was awarded an All-State Academic Award by the Iowa High School Football Association just for his outstanding achievements as a student athlete, obviously on and off the football field. Matt, if he's not a straight A student, I'm pretty sure he's pretty close. He was given the academic All-State honors, and that the Iowa Football Coaches Association, they honor student athletes who, you know, like I said, do well on the football field, but do even better off of it. Because, you know, the term is student athlete. So, yeah. I mean, if you're not a good student, you can't play football. but, yeah, he was honored at the halftime of a recent basketball game with his parents and Mr. Bucknell and Mr. Peterson.
That's right. You mentioned it. I was going to say that, but student athlete. Yep. So they recognize Iowa Football Coaches Association. Obviously, it's football, about football and the football coaches. But they recognize him for being a good student first, and then he just so happened to be have a pretty good season on the football field as well. Mm-hmm. So that, to me, I love that. That award, to me, means hold. I love the first-team All-State football players and the hard work they do on the field. I'm not slighting what that is, but if I hear a kid getting first-team All-Academic, remember that name. Here in about 10 years from now, you'll hear a lot about old Matty Ice outside of once, because football's done. I mean, you're just the percentages of kids playing football at the college level at small schools is pretty small.
Yep.
And obviously the percentage of kids from small schools going on and getting paid to play football is pretty non-existent.
Yes.
It's happened like once in my lifetime at West Branch. Just once. So
yeah.
Who knows? I think that might change. We may have that happen for a second time here before too long with Big Jack Rummels. Young Jack Rummels. He'll graduate this May from University of Northern Iowa. He was an All-American FCS football player or FBS football player this year for the Panthers, offensive lineman. Right now, some of the pro draft scout websites are projecting him somewhere anywhere from the third to the sixth round. He's got a pro day coming up here on the campus in the Unidome. There are going to be a lot of NFL scouts there. David Johnson is a running back that he got the pleasure of blocking for the last few years from out of Clinton. Hawks missed the boat on him. They said that because of his pass-catching abilities, and they were worried about his pass-catching and blocking abilities. Well, that guy a couple of years had over 200 yards of total offense on Iowa this year. A lot of receiving yardage. So he's got some pass-catching ability. And I know Jack had a great pleasure blocking for him, and a lot of other guys did a great job. And David Johnson, you read in the papers, when someone's asking him about Jack Rummels, they'll say, oh my gosh, that guy's amazing. He's going to make money. So Jack, best of luck to him. And hopefully, and he represents his community well, and certainly was an All-Stater started 3 years when he was at West Branch. He's your classmate, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
You got some fun stories about him, I'm sure.
All the
He's
way.
Taller. Here's a fun story. Fun fact. Jack in fifth grade is taller than Matt Chenander is right now. I'm just kidding.
Well, probably pretty close.
Pretty close.
Yeah, probably pretty close.
That kid was, I remember when he was in fifth grade, he wanted to be a running back and punter. Jason, I'm going to be a running back and I'm going to punt. And he's in fifth grade. Well, he's going to make money blocking for people that are running it and punting it. And good for him. Jacob Giese, senior football player for this year's squad, we already mentioned he was an All-Stater, Matt. And this last week on football signing day, just a few days ago, he had offers. He had an offer to play at the same level as you and I at South Dakota. You and I was kind of getting in there late. Iowa State offered him what's called a preferred walk-on scholarship, or not scholarship, preferred walk-on opportunity, as did the Iowa Hawkeyes. There's a walk-on, a guy that chooses his own to walk on to a football team and tries to make his way. Then there's an invited walk-on, who's treated as just like anybody else. He just doesn't get scholarship money. Bo Bauer went that route a couple years ago. Overtop didn't want it. He chose that route over going to UNI, Matt, and it's turned out okay for him so far.
I would say, yeah, this past season it worked out. Yeah.
Specifically when we
talked. Earning a scholarship.
We chronicled that in one of our previous podcasts. I mean, literally was in, hey, Coach Ferentz says, hey, Bo, can you come in the office? Okay. And he said, oh, by the way, we're putting you on scholarship. He had no idea. Bo said he had no idea that was going to happen. How's that for cool? You go from being a walk-on to all of a sudden the very next year get a scholarship and starting all 12 games for a Big Ten university as in your first season. He's a redshirt freshman. There's true freshmen. I hate that. I love that, true freshman. If you're a freshman, you're a freshman. There's not a true freshman. You're either a freshman or you're a redshirt freshman. At any rate. So Jacob Giese is going to go down that path and
play for Iowa,
yeah. And he's going to be a preferred walk-on, 6'3", 280-pounder. As a defensive tackle, he's going to get a shot. Coach Reese Morgans, the defensive line coach, was over here in West Branch a few times to talk to him about that. He had the opportunity, as I wrote in an article on westbranchfootball.com, he had the chance. He talked to the big guy, and that's Coach Ferentz. Said they talked a lot about wrestling and life. They didn't. Then all of a sudden, hey, we'd like to invite you over. Gauge your interest. Are you going to accept our offer? and he decided that was the best place for him.
Yeah, I'm really happy that he decided to do that, mainly just because I think it'd be good for him and good for his parents, that he just, you know, stays in the area. You know, I think it's obvious that he likes this area. And now, after moving a little west to West Branch, now he just goes a little bit more west to
Keep
Iowa
going
City.
West, young man. Yeah. And he did.
Yep. So, yeah, I think he's going to have a – I think his worth ethic and his drive, and he's smart, and he's got the talent and ability to, you know, kind of – I don't want to compare him to Bo, but kind of, you know, possibly have that same
– The same drive.
Same route. Well, just same that the same route, you know. Maybe be a redshirt this year, that preferred walk-on, and then maybe step it up one more to get that scholarship and starting. Who knows?
Yeah. Hopefully that happens in the next 4.5 to 5 years for him. That would be a great thing. Mm-hmm. It'd be a great stamp of approval, sort of. I mean, already it is showing what the coaches here at West Branch and his coach Lance Peterson at Wilton helped. And Lance was at, on Tuesday, was at the signing, man. Mm-hmm. We got photos of that up on the website, westbranchfootball.com, by the way. I'm sure you know what it is by now, but it's been 3 months, so you might need a refresher. So we got pictures up there. And, you know, his family's, again, only been in our community since basically July, physically living here. Mm-hmm. But, man, they're Bears. They are dead, solid Bears. The whole family was basically, aunt and uncle were there, Uncle Bobby, who coached football at the junior high level here in West Branch a few years ago for a couple years.
Yeah, at the signing, his uncle was there. And as you mentioned, Lance Peterson, the coach at Mount Vernon, who was Jacob's coach while he was in Wilton. Obviously, Coach Butch Peterson was there, activities director Jeff Reed, and then his parents, Richard and Sherry.
Yep. So that's a great thing. And we'll talk to Coach Peterson about that as well in the interview. And that's coming up right about now. We're here with West Branch football coach Butch Peterson. Coach, we kind of threw this together at the last second, but you know what? It's never a bad time to talk about football, is it?
No, that football is something you can talk about 12 months out of the year, in my opinion. It's always football season at West Branch.
It's always football season, but you know, you're helping out with basketball this year, coming off a really, really big victory last night in West Branch against basically conference leader of the RBC South in Regina. I mean, that's a good confidence boost going into the postseason here coming up.
There's no question. We have really improved a lot. Last year, you know, you and I both coached in the junior high level, and the varsity last year had 5 wins. And last night we got our 11th win, which clinches a winning season. So we've really grown this year a lot as a team, and we're not done. We still have some games to play, and we're really kind of hitting a hot spot right now.
And, you know, if you win your first game, I believe, is it against Durant or Wilton in the first round?
We played Durant the first round, and if we can beat Durant, we'll then play probably Regina. I think they have a bye, so we'll play Regina. You know, I'm also pleased today, you know, Jason, I think, as you know, Jacob Giese and Ryan Grover both advanced out of sectionals to district in wrestling. Giese was first, and Ryan Grover was second. So, you know, a lot of credit goes to those two wrestling football players. You know, that's, you know, wrestling and football really go hand in hand. And I'd like to see more kids go out for wrestling in the future and get that program going again.
I agree. And fun stat on Jacob: 3 matches, 3 pins, a whole 83 seconds on the mat. I mean, if you and I wrestled 83 seconds, but just out there, I think we might pass out before that, let alone three matches combined.
And I doubt he even took a shower. You know, he wasn't there very long, and he's an awfully good athlete, and, you know, he proved it this week, and when he signed with the University of Iowa as a preferred walk-on. And it's 105 is what it's called for him, because he, too, has been invited to the very first day of camp, which is very unusual for walk-ons at times. They don't come until, like, the first class day, and the people come back in September. And Jacob's, just like Bo, is 105 preferred walk-on, and that's a big deal.
I mean, and like I mentioned earlier in our podcast here, Butch, I said that and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but just from experience on this, if you are invited as a 105 walk-on, you're treated, you don't get any scholarship money, but you're treated exactly like every one of the 85 guys that are on scholarship. There's no difference other than the fact you're not getting money.
That's exactly right, and he'll have a training table, and he'll have all the things that a regular scholarship player would have, and then he'll also have the right to work hard and get better and earn a scholarship, again, just like Bo did. And I know Bo was his guest visitor. He took Jake around on his visit to Iowa, and I know Jacob talked to Bo a lot, and Bo gave him a lot of insight into what a walk-on does do at Iowa. And it's just a tremendous honor to have two football players from West Branch on the University of Iowa football program.
It's been a long time. In fact, I can't recall that ever being the case in your coaching career. Can you?
No, I never remember that being the case at all. And, you know, it's who knows, maybe we're going to have another one too, because our kids are really working hard, and it's an honor. And, you know, living basically in the shadow of the Iowa press box, it's very important for our West Branch kids to realize that that's a great program and that they're involved in it. And Reese Morgan was one of the big wigs as far as the coaches were concerned on getting Jacob there. Reese is just a quality act. I mean, there's nobody, in my opinion, better on that staff over there than Reese Morgan. And Kurt got involved as well. And they just have done a great job recruiting Jacob and very close to the family. And it's a family atmosphere over there, just like our football program is. And I think it's going to be a real eye-opening experience for Jacob. And I know that he's going to really work hard to please everybody in the Iowa program.
Well, the floodgates are open. That's back-to-back. Let's get one every year. All right. Moving on a little bit to John St. John, also on Tuesday, coach signed with Iowa Central Community College out of Fort Dodge, that's correct, right, on a full scholarship.
That's correct. He got a full ride. Kevin Twait is the head coach there. He's been there, I believe, 18 seasons and has run a great program, gets in bowl games, you know, almost every year. And Kevin's very high on John. John is going to play offense with the Tritons, and Jacob, on the other hand, is going to play defense for Iowa. So we have one on one side of the ball and one on the other side of the ball. Kevin feels with continued development that John St. John can be a starter this fall, and that would be a big deal for him. And, you know, I'm really hoping that John stays in that weight room and does the things necessary in order to play at the next level.
Yeah, also not from a scholarship standpoint, I'm sure he's going to receive some academic scholarships, but Matt McElrath recently was named. You're part of the Iowa Football Coaches Association, Butch, and I know what a great thing it is to be a coach of football, but to be more importantly than that, the student comes out before the athlete, and Matt was recognized recently as an all-state, academic all-state football player.
Matt richly deserves that honor, and two-way starter for us, captain of the football team, did everything that we ever asked him to do to be a good leader, and he was rewarded by the Iowa Football Coach Association with academic all-state, which is a big honor. And we had kind of a quirk on that deal. I always give that form to the guidance counselor, and I did not realize that we could nominate more than one kid. And we would have nominated Sam Aspelmeyer as well, because Sammy is a tremendous leader as well and had a great senior year. And we're in the process right now of trying to petition the Iowa Football Coach Association to let us add Sam to that list as well. But right now they're kind of dragging their feet, and I kind of find that to be a sad situation, because had I known, or the counselor had known, that we could do more than one, we would have definitely nominated Sam Aspelmeyer, because him and his family are quality people.
I mean, I don't know the number of kids, but I know we have the football banquet, awards banquet every year. There's about 1,422 kids every year that get all district academic, which is 3.25 or better, and that's freshman through senior, be it player, manager, cheerleader. I mean, that's a great thing. I mean, we get 20, 30, 40 kids as all academic, all district. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, Bill, you know, we have really stressed throughout the years, and our school district does as well. Shannon Bucknell, He's our principal now, and he stresses academics extremely important and for everybody, and so does the football coaches. We call them a student athlete, and they have to get their grades, and then they play football as a secondary thing, and that's the way it should be, because football is a great game, and they're going to play it for a while, hopefully, but you know, they're not going to play it for the rest of their lives, and they need to go out and get graduated and go to college and get a job and make some money down the road and raise their family. I really, really want to stress them to get their grades first, and I think our kids have done a pretty good job in that area.
Obviously, we didn't get the chance to talk to you about any more games after the Dyke-New Hartford game and didn't have the chance to really speak with you here on the podcast about last season. But in short, since then, we've had six of our athletes, our football players, named to one All-State football team or another, and that's Giese, McElrath, Lamont, Finnegan, St. John, and Luke Lenock, in one publication or another. I don't know. Matt and I have already talked about this. I don't know how none of those guys were named to the Cedar Rapids Gazette All-Area team when you've got the second leading rusher on the eastern half of the state of Iowa on your football team. But it just, I know those are individual things, but it just comes to show the performance and the at a high level that this team did in 2014, Coach.
Oh, there's no question about it. We were in the top five, I know, in the state of Iowa in Class 1A football on offense, and also I believe in the top five in all categories in defense as well. So we, a 10-1 season with a lot of accolades for a lot of different players, was a great, very, very gratifying season for us. And I know that you and Matt have created one of the best, if not, to me, it's the best highlight tape that I've ever witnessed. It's a 2-hour show, and it's not just football. It's a variety of different things, which is the reason why I like it so much. And we're going to show that tomorrow in the high school auditorium at 6:00. And we invite anybody in the town of West Branch, anybody that wants to come out and watch that tape, to come on out and be a part of that. It's going to be a lot of fun.
We've been promoting that thing for weeks. Unfortunately, an extra week because of the snow last week, but there's no shortage of, it's not self-promotion, it's just promotion on the football website, through Twitter, through Facebook. I got a feeling, we've already talked about this, that we're going to have a fairly large crowd, and should be, because it has not, Matt and I did the work, but it has really nothing to do with us. It's just, it's the body of work that the coaching staff, that the players, that the cheerleaders, that the managers, that the community put in to make this 2014 season just a very successful year.
Well, I think, you know, you're kind of downplaying your importance to the whole thing, Jason. You and Matt have worked your tails off on this particular project, and it's a labor of love, I know, for you and also for Quinny and other people that were in Stephen Grace, et cetera, and all the guest play-by-player color people that we had during the course of the season. And it's a labor of love, as I said, and you should be very proud of the product that you produced. And so don't downplay yourself, because you and Matt are a major influence on our football program.
We really appreciate that, because it is a labor of love. I mean, it may sound cliche, but it's so true. But, man, after we watched this, I got tears in my eyes, and it has nothing to do with us making it. It's just the memories. And you say this, Coach, you always call it memory makers. And the memory makers in this program are the kids, and we with what we've done, just to try to accentuate that through the film. And if you got a dry eye tomorrow night, I don't really know if you're human. I mean, man, it really pulls at your strings, because it's just with what we're able to do this year. We had you mic'd up, by the way. He was very clean pretty much throughout the whole year, and so we're able to put Butch's voiceover and other things, video from the sideline, that we've never done before, Coach.
Well, it's something that the kids in the past have enjoyed, these highlight tapes. But this is, we've gone to the next level. This tape is the next level. Kind of like we try to do in our football program at all times, is to get better every year. And that's our job as a coaching staff. And you guys have stepped to the next level on this highlight tape. And when people see it, if they don't have some tears in their eyes, I'll be very surprised, because some of that stuff is very emotional. And it is. It's, you guys are the memory makers for these kids. And when they see this tape, they're going to be absolutely in seventh heaven.
Well, really quickly, then we'll let you go here, Coach. And as you mentioned, it's a 12-month-a-year thought process job in your world. Just for fun, you know, I know you've got to – it's going to be tough to replace a lot of the kids that graduate this year. But you have a solid nucleus of players, and a lot of young kids have been working their tails off in the weight room to hopefully bring 2015 successful as perhaps it was in 2014.
Well, we're excited. I know we're going to get in that weight room even more so all the time. And we have a new track coach in Taylor Larson, and I know he's really going to accent weightlifting in his program. And that's going to be a plus for all athletes that go out for track to be multi-sport athletes and become better in all the sports. And Phil Johnson continues to be, you know, an outstanding strength coach. In fact, tomorrow from 12 to 5, he's going to have a program at the weight room where you're going to come in, you can be fed, you can watch the kids do a variety of different weightlifting things. You get a tour of the facility, and it's going to be a really fun day, I think, for the weightlifting people. And I'm really looking forward to that as well. And again, that anybody in the community who wants to come out and see that, you know, we feel it's very important for you to support the weightlifting program and come on out and see the kind of facility that we do have, because it's second to none.
And with that, I know Coach Peterson would say this, and any coach knows, obviously what you do on the court, you coach things on the court or on the field, but a weight room is basically the heart and soul for extended success of any sports program. And at West Branch for football, as we're talking football here, without a weight room, without Phil Johnson and his staff down there, we wouldn't have the success we had in 2014 and what we will have in the coming seasons.
Those guys just do an absolutely outstanding job. And we do have the possibility, Jason, that we might have as many as four kids who move to West Branch or open enroll to West Branch joining our program next year. I'm really not at liberty right now to say their names. Although one's already moved in, Cooper Koenig from West Liberty, and he's going to see if he can battle for a position with our program. And he's a good kid, has a nice family, and we have a lot of other kids that are working extremely hard in that weight room. So, we're excited about our football program. We're excited about next year, and we're excited, again, to really encourage kids to be multi-sport athletes and to get involved in a lot of different activities. It doesn't have to just be athletics. It could also be, you know, swing choir, show choir, a band, and fine arts, whatever they want to do, get involved, because high school goes extremely fast, and you want to take part in as many things as you possibly can.
I agree 100%. Because you only get this experience once, you should probably try and make the most of it and participate in as much as you feel like you're able to do so. But, Coach, thanks so much for taking this time for us in February. When we think it's 6 months away for the first practice and seat and game, those times, it seems to go by more quickly every year.
It sure does, and it is. I'm already got the days counting, and I didn't do a Don Taylor. I don't know exactly how many they are, but I know we're getting excited as a football staff. We'll be going to some clinics here in the near future. We're kind of leaning toward Kansas State this year. We've been to Ohio State, we've been to Michigan, we've been to Notre Dame in the last 3 years, and I think we're thinking about going to Kansas State and Coach Snyder down there is a former Hawkeye, and see if we can pick up some more information down there.
He's done some great things while he's still there, man. He's the ageless one. Was he 82 or 83 years old, and he's on his second stint with Kansas State. He's a great coach, and I know he was on the Hayden Fry coaching tree.
Yeah, he's a phenomenal coach and even a better individual. And Dell Miller is a friend of mine that's also on that staff. So I'll be able to renew some friendships if we do go down to Manhattan.
All right, Coach. Well, thanks a lot. We'll look forward to seeing you there tomorrow night. And best of luck to you and Coach Gaster and the Bears basketball team as we move forward here in the next 10 days and begin the postseason.
I know last night after we beat Regina, they were extremely excited, and that's going to be a big win for us as far as self-confidence is concerned. And to get that winning season, I think, meant a lot to these kids. And they got it, and same with the wrestlers and the girls' basketball program. We want all that stuff to be very, 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 you know, successful. And the same with show choir. They've done a great job this winter getting performed for the variety of different activities that they do on that particular program.
And one last thing, then we'll let you go. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the most important member of the Peters family, and Jenny. Right now she's sort of laid up with an injury to her foot. But, you know, once football season rolls around, she'll be healthy and running around and you know, coming up in the press box for the music and taking care of the food. But she does so many things for you behind the scenes and for, you know, many kids through the years. But want to wish her quick health and get her back to running around the house, Butch.
Well, she's had a cast on her foot for 2 weeks, and she's going to have another one on for 4 weeks. So it's going to be a 6-week process with a cast on, and then she has to wear a boot for another 6 weeks. She had a tendon rip on her foot, where she couldn't raise her foot, so they had to do surgery on that. And she's still staying ornery. She always has been, and she's going to be a warrior, and she'll get through this. And she'll be a lot better shape because she's going to have a foot that will really be functional for her.
Oh, good. And we got to have her getting up and down those stairs in the press box next year, helping us out up there. But thanks for your time, Coach. Yeah. We'll see you tomorrow night.
All righty.
Take care.
Thank you.
Well, we're talking with Jacob Kesey, 2014 All-State football defensive tackle, offensive lineman for West Branch. Man, you know, since November, a lot of things have sort of been going on for you. First and foremost, let's talk about today. You were only on a wrestling mat at the sectional meet for 83 seconds. Biggest question on all the listeners' minds, did you break a sweat?
A little bit the second match. My coach has kind of told me, keep working, don't pin him yet. So I guess I had to kind of break a sweat the second match.
Well, congratulations on that. You and Ryan Groven are both making it out today, moving on to the district meet next Saturday at Wilton. You ever been there?
Maybe a couple times. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you probably wrestled in that gym at least once, so you know the surroundings. Best of luck to you on that. I'm sure you guys will do well and represent not just our wrestling program, but our school in a positive manner. So, you know, also, there's this little thing called a National Letter of Intent. On Tuesday was National Letter of Intent signing day, the first day college football players could do that. And
Thursday?
Was it Thursday?
It was Thursday.
Or maybe it was Thursday. I don't know. Days start running together after a while. February 4th, so I guess that was Thursday. Kind of chronicle how this whole roller coaster ride ended up 10 miles west of West Branch here in Iowa City.
Yeah, it's been crazy, I guess, the past couple months. Going different visits to South Dakota, UNI, and then to Iowa as well. Just different schools, I guess, putting stuff down on the table for you and wanting you to go to their school. It's a hard decision, I guess, because you can't really say yes to all of them. You got to just pick the one.
And the hard part, I think, all recruits always say this. At the end of it, making calls to the other schools that you've built relationships with their coaches, and then you have to call and say, hey, coach, I've decided I'm going to go somewhere else. And all recruits say that's one of the toughest parts of recruiting.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, like you said, I built a great relationship with other coaches from other schools, and calling them was probably the hardest part about the decision, I guess. Just kind of understanding that you were the guy, and then you're kind of turning them down, and your heart's somewhere else. So, I mean, they understand in the end, but, yeah, it's kind of hard to do at that moment.
Well, now you're an Iowa Hawkeye. You're officially signed. You can't get out of it now. So give us when did you first hear about the opportunity to be a 105 walk-on, and when did the decision to accept that offer come about?
It started out, I guess, probably a month or so ago. The D-line coach at Iowa, Reese Morgan, came to school, started talking to me and stuff, and he came a couple times to school and visited me, and just kind of talking with Butch, and Butch kind of filled me in on some information, I guess, and we kind of asked Coach Morgan about the 105 going into camp, and he just said that, yeah, he would recommend it to Coach Ferentz, that, yeah, I would like you in the 105, but mainly it's Coach Ferentz's decision. So, I mean, let's see, it was Saturday. We're supposed to be wrestling at conference. Well, that didn't happen, I guess. Coach Morgan called me that morning about 9 o'clock and told me that Coach Ferentz had decided that I can be a part of the 105 if I want to go to Iowa. And I called him around noon and said, I'll be a Hawkeye.
That's awesome. And congratulations on that. I mean, not many kids. I mean, it's sort of, I don't want to say it's ironic, but kind of strange. I say not many when there's a guy over there right now that was in a similar situation just a year ago and worked his tail off in Bo Bauer to get a scholarship. He was your host when you took your visit over there, correct?
Yeah.
And you had kind of knew him a little bit probably from lifting weights in the weight room with him this last summer?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. kind of playing against him, I guess, my sophomore year at Wilton. I knew who he was, but I don't even think he knew who in the world I was. But, you know, kind of over the years, I've grown to know who Bo Bauer is.
Bo Bauer. But that's a neat thing. I mean, this is the first time I can tell you right now. I don't know much about the history of West Branch football, but I'll say it's the first time in the history of the football team that there's ever been two guys from West Branch on the same Iowa football team. I think that's a cool thing. I mean, it's a great sort of endorsement of the program, what's going on with Phil Johnson in the weight room and on the field.
Bill and I never really played together, I guess, on the same team in high school, but I guess there's still kind of that bond that I guess Bill and I have created just talking and hanging out, I guess, that one night over there in Iowa City. And, we talked about it, and we thought it would be pretty cool if we could get on the same team and play together in future years.
I imagine that your parents, Richard and Sherry, are very proud of you, are very sort of, I would say, beyond happy, and your Uncle Bobby about the train of events here.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, let alone just making the decision to come over to West Branch, they left it to be my decision. They didn't want to push anything either direction, and same thing with the college decision. They just wanted me to make sure I was going where I'd be happy, so they just kind of let me do my thing, and they tried to help out as, I guess, much as I can. I let them.
Okay, and here's a fun question for you. Since the season's been over, I doubt you've been asked this question, but you played at West Branch for 1 year after being somewhere else for a few years. Can you talk about, I mean, we've already chronicled the transition and becoming a Bear, but after the season, just talk about what it was like, and, man, is it something that it was the right decision for you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I could tell that from the first workout I had with the guys over here. I mean, they just right away, like I said 1,000 times before, they brought me in like another family member the first second they met me. And I guess after the season, we didn't really expect or want it to end as soon as it did, but, I mean, things happen, and we're still a band of brothers even after hard times, like ending a season earlier than we expected.
But you got the opportunity to play here at the Little Rose Bowl as a Bear rather than a Beaver. It's kind of, you know, Jake, I know that the boys were excited to have you here, and then after a day or two, that excitement of a new player who they played against who was very successful wore off. Then you were just their teammate making their team better. I, for one, as a fan, it was neat to see the transition, and you sort of made it seamless, man. I mean, they took you in as a Bear, but you really made it easy for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just how the community itself is over here in West Branch. I mean, yeah, I was somewhere else, and, I mean, nothing like West Branch, Iowa, I guess. I mean, everyone's one.
That's awesome, man. Well, we definitely want to wish you well, but before that, guy on your offensive line with you, also the same day you signed your national letter of intent, your teammate Big John St. John signed a letter of intent to Iowa Central Community College on a full ride. I mean, two biggest guys on the team getting the opportunity to move on. That's kind of cool to see your teammate get that, hey man.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, going against them every day and ISO drills at practice and stuff like that, and just seeing that both of us working hard together and stuff, that all paid off in the end. It's awesome. I mean, when we were signing our letters that morning, wherever it was, him and I think we shook hands and kind of celebrated a bunch of times.
Well, one last thing. We've decided to push the highlight film back to June. Is that okay with you?
Sure.
No, I'm just kidding. We're going to show it tomorrow night. Are you excited about that?
Yes, finally.
Finally, first we had all these dates, and then they changed, and then the weather got us. But now tomorrow night we're going to unveil. I think you're really going to like it. It has nothing to do with Matt and I doing it. It's pretty cool, and I don't really want to go into full details. I want you to be able to take it in its original form tomorrow night. But looking forward to showing it off for you guys.
Yeah. Well, right. Thank you guys for putting it together for us.
No problem. It's our pleasure. Thanks for joining us here on the podcast, man. Best wishes to you for the rest of the school year as a student athlete, and then as you move on to Iowa City.
All right. Thank you.
For putting together this show sort of on a whim, we've talked with Coach Peterson for about 15 minutes. We had the opportunity to talk to future Iowa Hawkeye All-Stater Jacob Giese for a few minutes. And we've talked about we're going to talk a little bit more about that here in a few minutes to get a little more detail without giving up all the details or really much at all. The highlight film, we talked about All-State stuff, Matt, and all academic All-State.
I mean, for winter, there's... I mean, a decent amount going on.
It was more than I expected.
Oh, yeah, totally. I think at this time last year, I remember we were waiting for... I think at this time, like, the district pairings were out.
Yeah.
But we were waiting for the full schedule. And so that was kind of the excitement for last year at this time. And now it's all these great players and students getting recognized for their hard work that they put in during the fall, on and off the field, and they're getting rewarded for it.
We want to welcome a new listener, Mike Westcott. If you're out there, I know we just met last week, and I mentioned this to you that we might be doing a podcast sometime on the website here on westbranchfootball.com. So if you've logged into this later on after we've recorded it, man, it's great to have you as part of the community. He's
welcome
been great.
To town. Yeah.
Welcome to town, and you know. Whatever you can do to volunteer, you and your wife and your family's welcome at any function. Hopefully, if you listen, you're going to come out to the highlight show viewing tomorrow night at the high school. Don't be late. It's going to begin at 6. So, thanks, Mike. Matt, speaking of which, the highlight film, give us about 4 more minutes. We'll get there. Really quickly, you mentioned the district is already set for next year. The schedule is already set.
Yep.
So, if you remember where West Branch played in their games this year against teams... Go to the other team's place next year.
Wait, does that mean we're actually going to play Lisbon in West Branch?
And North Cedar.
And we're actually going to play North Cedar in West
Branch?
Yeah, North
Cedar. Well,
is that
the
first time ever?
There's another detail that we're not letting out right now.
Is that the first time ever?
It will be if the Iowa State Athletic Association doesn't veto it. Right now, the Knights, the North Cedar administration is petitioning to have that game moved to Stanwood.
Why?
Because they're not used to being in West Branch.
Oh,
they don't want to play on a new field.
They don't know
they're
how
worried
to get
about
here.
The conditions. They don't know how to drive to the football field.
No.
President Doug Jackson Field up there, at any rate. No disrespect to their program. They've treated us well in that field. I mean, not only is the food great, we've done well there. I mean, they gave us a car hood in case somebody's car hood falls off their car.
We get our own press box.
Get our own press box. It's great. So, oh, and we can't put it off anymore because people, okay, what are they going to talk about? What's the surprise? This is it. You've been listening to the surprise. You've got more this podcast than I think you may have got all year during the season. This is ridiculous. It's been great. But highlight film tomorrow night, Matt. Give them your visionary process.
My visionary process.
Yes.
Well, I think our goal with this was to really show what the West Branch football community is. And the really neat thing about this film is that there's a lot of things that fans, parents, people in the stands, people listening on the Bearcast are not able to witness or really see. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes things like Butch's, Coach Peterson and Coach Ty Lee's speeches to the players in the bus barn before home games. Coach Ty Lee, before every game, he would talk to the big guys, the linemen on the field. Mason Hayes would lead backs and receivers kind of, all right, let's go. This is what we need to do. This is our mindset kind of thing. Just a lot of behind-the-scenes things that you don't see from the stands. Coach Peterson's post-game speech, which – you might be sitting in the stands and looking out to the field and see the team all huddled up afterwards. But unless Butch is really yelling, you don't know what they're saying. unless Greg writes it in the West Branch Times. It's a really neat way to just see what it's like, kind of outside of the stands, really.
People aren't
and so our I think our intention was to really make it a story really make it a narrative that just really highlighted how special of a season this was. And obviously it ended earlier than we would have liked, but it was still a wonderful story, and I hope we were able to capture that and really relay that in this film.
Well, there's so much more that we got to do for all 11 games this year that we've only got to do for one, maybe two games in years past.
Yep.
With the Sideline Tommy equipment that we had, camera, Sideline Tommy, Tom Berger down there, miking up Coach Peterson, as I mentioned in the interview with him.
Yep.
Just the fireworks, the pageantry, all the kind of things. Matt Hills giving pregame speeches every week because we will be
champions.
That's right, and yep. We were district champions.
So as much as I'm excited to have people see this, I'm already looking forward to next year just because of some of the equipment upgrades we've already been able to make or that we are planning on making as this off season goes on, just to make the quality of all the things that we're capturing the games just better, more high quality, a better microphone for Coach Peterson, better camera up in the press box, better camera in the north end zone for the home games, all that really.
Yeah, it's so neat. You guys, you just need to come out. I know hopefully you're listening to this before 6 p.m. tomorrow. Don't be late.
Yep.
Right, Matt?
Yep.
Don't be late. We don't do that wait for you stuff. It's Sunday night, so we want to get kids home, families home, so they can get rest for their work week, for the parents, and the kids get home if they have any home work that they need to do to get done. Maybe they should have done that before this, but it's great. And the atmosphere, the team is there, and it's not like watching it on your couch like Matt and I have done a few times just to get ready for this, to see that. Of course, we got to preview it, Matt. Mm-hmm, I mean, to see, make sure that it was right.
Yes, yes.
But, detail. Here's my hint, then you can give yours. My hint, my little insight about the film, there was football played. That's it. I mean, if that doesn't give anything away, I don't know what will.
I think this would. Drones.
Drones. And we're talking Star Wars. We're talking the good kind.
Those little helicopter things.
Yeah, dadgummit.
Drones.
Yeah, to throw a dadgum in there for fun. Well, Matt,
I did want to, a little spoiler for, not about the film, but for the Bearcast next season. We want our plan right now, if you enjoyed listening, we wanted equipment upgrades. And what we want to do is have a crowd microphone. Because with the headsets that Steven and Jerry were using at the end of the season there, you can't really hear the crowd. And being able to hear the crowd is kind of I think it's a neat thing, really adds to the atmosphere. So we'll have a basically like a microphone dedicated to picking up crowd noise. And hoping to have like a sideline reporter as well. Kind of like if you're listening on AM stations, so... just something to look forward to.
I know, and we had a lot of different people helping us out. Obviously Mike Quinlan, Stephen Grace, he's got a vast lot. He does radio and he does a great job. Jerry Flagel, the original voice of the Bears, did some stuff for it. Did the color man for the playoff games. Jody Kruger helped out. He had a few years' experience of helping out on AM 800 KXIC. AM 800 KXIC. That's your only commercial from us, folks. But and also Matt and Teddy Tuttle was involved as well. The speedster, he loves throwing that out. Oh, Teddy did a great job. But we got all these guys that we can pull resource from, and of course even Matt Chenander did. I don't know, what, three or four games? Two games.
It's all right. No. Three maybe.
You did a home game. You did.
Well, I did Lisbon.
You did one Wilton, home, Wilton, and a, one
and
home
then
game.
Bellevue.
So, see, I was right there. You said two. I know. I'm just kidding. But it's great. And it's cliche to say it's great. But it's neat that we have these people we can pull from. But Matt mentioned the sideline thing. I'd love to get Jody involved. Definitely have Jerry involved. He was awesome, and I know he's got such a heart for this, and everybody does. But Matt, I for the last time, next year I'll come up with something new. I think we could wrap this one up, put a bow on it, put it under the tree. I think we're done. I think I'm going to retire that one.
I think you should.
Yes.
And until, August?
Until August, man. You enjoy your winter, your spring, and part of your summer, too, because the next time we come to you, it's going to be in August. And Media Day will be just a few weeks away from the pads cracking as the Lisbon Lions. Right now, they're rumored to be coming to West Branch for the first game of the season. Matt, it's been fun. You've been over there, and you're Matt Shenander, and this has been
the Talking Bear Football Podcast on westbranchfootball.com.
Take care, everyone.